So why does black businesses don't put so much energy into like their art and crafts? Like, why do they not they don't have that much to offer when they have a business? Like, it's not like
there's not a lot of business value.
Yeah,
it seems like they don't care.
They don't care about it. Yeah, why is that? Because I feel like most people, like, own a business, they're proud of their business. But when you come to the black community, like, we don't actually, not like we're not proud, we are proud, but we don't show that we're proud. The way you show you're proud is by putting so much energy into your business, doing so much to, like, you know, help your business, instead of just owning the business and just magically thinking it's just gonna, like, blow
up. It's just
up.
Gonna work. It's like treating, it's like treating the things you care about. If you care about something, you treat it well, right?
That's
it's like having that new car and cleaning it and washing it every week because you care. But you're saying with business, black people tend to just treat it like it's like...
like it's crap.
Yeah.
So I feel like that shouldn't be the case, because I've seen other businesses, like, you know, you have the Asian businesses, you have the Mexican businesses. And I mean, even though it's little, but they still put the energy and the effort, you know, into it.
Absolutely.
But with the black businesses, you just, you don't have that drive or that effort, you know, they don't want it like bad.
Well, you know, I want to get into it, and we'll definitely get into it, but I think it's cultural. Like you saw, we just got back from the sushi spot.
Yeah.
We're in Addison, Texas, and there's a Vietnamese guy, Steve, you saw him.
Yeah.
Now he owns his own business in a bougie area.
Mm-hmm.
What was he doing? He was sweeping.
He was sweeping, which is interesting, but I feel like if the role was reversed, you would not see...
You would never see a black man sweeping his own
business.
Yeah.
Like
last weekend, he was a waiter.
He was a waiter.
In his own business. During rush hour, because he wanted to make sure that everybody got served.
Yep.
I think it's cultural, bro.
But do you think it's cultural as in it started from, you know, just everybody from home? Or like, you know, we all grew up and all of a sudden we, you know, learn all this stuff like from, you know, a different part of the world? Like, I mean, what's going on?
I think it's definitely something that is... I think it definitely starts at home.
Hmm.
And I think there's a lot of issues that cause the black community to not be ready to enter the business stage on a national stage, even a, more importantly, a multicultural stage.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you do and you viewers at home, you can think about it. Think of a black person and think about what business they own. If they own a business, it's clothes.
True.
It's sports related.
Mm-hmm.
It's music.
Some kind of fashion.
Mm-hmm. But again, even when it's fashion, everybody wears clothes.
Mm-hmm.
It only is geared towards black people.
So do you think they don't reach out to like other cultures? Is that why we like stuck in what we do? Like we don't grow because we only focus like, oh, I'm gonna be selling to a black person. I'm gonna be doing this to like this culture. And I don't wanna reach out to other people. Do you think that's gonna help?
I think nothing challenges a black person that owns a... there's nothing that challenges a black business owner in the black community. There's no incentive for that black person to put more time in. They're probably the only business owner they know. And if they're not, dating is music.
Yeah.
So does Brandon. So does SoundCloud rappers.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, Nene's got a boutique. She does hair.
Yeah.
So does Kiki down the street. But there's no competition. There's nothing about Kiki's business that's gonna make Nene not get clients.
Gotcha.
And the black, there's no emphasis on building up any real franchise. There's no emphasis on being able to amass a certain amount of money to expand at all. The black dollar, even when you're a black business owner, doesn't stay in the community. And everything is so limited. Again, earlier when we were speaking about this before we decided to do the podcast, you mentioned what? Barbers, right?
Yeah, because the reason why I mentioned my barber, for an example, he has a, you know, he's a mobile barber. Like, he goes to you, you know, he meets you up at your apartment, he gives you a cut.
It's like Uber Eats for haircuts.
Yeah, it's like Uber Eats for haircut. But with him, I had the opportunity to talk to him and, you know, get his side of, you know, his business, how he runs it on a daily. And he was telling me he was struggling and, you know, he needed to, like, do more of, you know, more haircuts or, you know, put more time, you know, finding clients and stuff like that.
He wants
more business, but he doesn't want to do the work. And the reason why I said that, because if you're a business owner and you're just starting up and you're struggling, you don't take a 2-month vacation. He took a 2-month.
That's crazy.
He took a 2-month vacation.
That's crazy to think. That's
when,
crazy.
you had talked, I had talked to him like a couple of weeks ago, like, yeah. oh, about how he wanted to do certain things, but, and you're going to take a 2-week vacation. So to me, it's like a disconnect between that. Like, if you want to win, you got to put in the work.
And that's kind of the question you were asking earlier.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that, and that's one thing that as an African, you definitely can't relate to. There's yes. no African immigrant family that came over here to not work.
That's correct.
It's not a thing. And that's why all their kids like you are a medical student or, you know, engineering. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as laziness. They yeah. know what it takes
yeah.
just to get here.
That's true.
So you might look like us, but that cultural thing that holds us back, you guys don't have. And I think that, again, one thing I could experience having lived in places like Dallas mm-hmm. or Chicago mm-hmm. is there's twofold, right? So there's one hand, on the one hand, you have a kid like me, who I was born wanting to learn, wanting to do business, wanting to do all these things, and it's just not supported. Mm. On every level, your parents can't help you, your family can't help you, nobody knows anything about this. But not only that, is they probably don't support it. If you're not in music, if you're not in clothing, if you're not in sports, especially, you're lame.
So you made, hold that thought for a second. You made a good point. So do you think since, as a generation, of course, our parents already did this, you know, we have to be the people to like step in and do this for our kids. Do you think now it starts with us to educate our kids? Let's say when they get to a certain point, okay, we got to have those ideas, like, okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the thing is that not to bring up the whole race thing again and oppression, but it's a real thing. Black people have only been outside of the aggressively oppressive era of this country for 50 years. Yeah. And it's still not true because if you understand how long it takes for things to actually come into effect
yeah.
once, you know, policy passes. It's our parents still grew up in oppression. My parents are both as successful as you can be mm-hmm. for police officers, but they never had any dreams. They never had any ambitions. Keep your head low.
So it's
just
like
what you gotta do.
It's like they just stopped existing as a certain amount of time. Like, okay,
on
this
an
is
individual
it.
Level, they couldn't afford to. Mm-hmm. Literally, financially, could not afford to invest in themselves. They had to do what they had to do to survive. My mom has a doctorate in psychology, and yet she couldn't stay with family. That's a very cultural thing. Whereas an Asian kid mm-hmm. going to med school
yeah.
can stay at home while they mm-hmm. go through med school. African kids can stay at home. My mom never had the option, even when she was getting her doctorate. She mm-hmm. had a whole life going on, a kid, a husband, everything else. And she had to still work as an officer while she got her degree. There's not that option where other races will incubate their children.
For a certain amount of time.
For a certain amount of time
so
until they
get
to where they're going.
Together and then so they could leave.
Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting point because I had seen, you know, families. I mean, of course, I'm from Nigeria. And I mean, I came here when I was 15, but our parents, to us, we had to get our stuff together. Everything has to be done a certain way. Like, you just can't, your parents don't drive you out of the house. They don't actively seek to like, oh, you gotta move or this and that. Like, to them, when you successful to the point where you have to move, then you can move out.
Right.
So they actively support you because think about how much people wait to like go rent an apartment or like do other stuff. They could easily put that money into their own family and do all that stuff.
Right.
And
they're allowing you to grow. Whereas they understand that, hey, you might have that cultural pressure to be a doctor, mm-hmm. but this is what it takes.
Yeah.
And we'll put up with you until you get to that point. Mm-hmm. We're making that investment. And then when you get there, by all means, get out of my house. Whereas correct. The black community treats 18 like an eject button. Mm-hmm. Oh, I did my legal duty. Get
you
out. You're an adult.
Yeah.
Figure out everything else. And the worst part is, they'll tell you, oh, this is what happened to me. Mm. So it doesn't matter. My dad was out the house at 17. My mom was out the house at 16. Mm. I'm lucky that I was out the house at 18. Mm. That's a crazy thought when considering the goals that will put your family where they need to be. You do need to incubate your family. Even if they're able to live outside mm-hmm. of the actual physical home, there's supposed to be a support system.
Yeah.
But I think solely the black community just doesn't have that.
That support system.
Right. And so mm-hmm. I think that's the number one issue. But the second one is even when you have people that want better, mm-hmm. we can get into internal dialogue and all those other things, but you just don't know about opportunities.
Yeah.
And so it's very easy for someone to say, oh, you want to be an engineer? Well, I've only been a janitor. I've only been a maid, you know, mother's cleaning
so
the house.
So they cannot that's, give you what you want.
They can't.
They can.
You can't ask someone that's never done it.
Done it.
Or even heard of it. You know, there's so many smart kids that live in Chicago right now that can't afford the private schools that connect you to great schools like Loyola and Chicago and University of Chicago. They don't even know. There's kids right now, especially in the inner city kids, that are getting straight A's that aren't aware of the opportunities that they have. You have Google and everything else, but if your teachers don't even know, if your community doesn't care,
there's no way.
And going back to the thing, on a cultural level, though, they don't even, they don't support you.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't even make sense. If you say you want to do computer science, they just know that their phone is like a computer. They don't know
what
yeah, that's what white that. Or that's Asian stuff. They can't support you even if they wanted to. So I think when you it's really hard. You have to get out of that element somehow, again, still having being able to financially support yourself. Just to be exposed to know what you don't know. And so with one side of the culture not believing that it's possible and the other side of the culture not even be aware of it, makes it really difficult. And
this topic is kind of touchy and interesting at the same time, because as a black man, we, you know, the odds are, you know, stacked against us like drastically. So you're like constantly trying to do better. But when you see, like, you know, your fellow, you know, black person, and they own something which they should be passionate about, but they're not. And that's a problem, you know?
Absolutely.
Because you don't, we don't want to get to the point where you have someone that should be, you know, be a millionaire, but they're still struggling to make $20, $15 an hour.
Yeah.
Like, they had this opportunity this whole time, but they failed to use that opportunity.
Right. And like we were speaking on earlier, again, besides the fact of where's the pressure come from?
Yeah.
When you don't have anyone that's doing what you're doing, and you've never seen anyone actually make anything of it, it's more of just a label. I want to say that I own a business. I got my own thing.
And that's about it.
But that's it. You know, you'll make mixtapes, and if you sold them for more than free, I'm an entrepreneur. You've done it.
Enough.
And yeah, nobody's going to tell you you're not.
Yeah.
But then again, think about how little that is. You said struggling to make $20 an hour, and that's real. That's not even the bottom of the bottom of the bottom for any other race culturally in any industry. But if nobody around you is there to say, to even show you that this is what this looks like, then what do? And when you see it, you don't even, it doesn't even process that it's an option for you. We just left an Asian restaurant owned by somebody that wasn't even Japanese, but it's a Japanese restaurant. He knows, he's seen that this is possible, and that also this is the level you need to be at.
Yeah, and I got to chime in a little stuff about that. So the Asian restaurant we just left in Addison, Texas, it's owned by a Vietnamese guy. And in there, and I've seen this at multiple places, you have family members working together. But have you ever seen that? It's a father and son, like, doing that. And I know we used to go to a street taco, you know, stand. It was owned by a mother and a daughter. And it's like, it's constantly, like, you constantly see, like, family stuff. But I don't usually see that, the same thing like that when you come to our community. Why is that?
And that's what I said on a cultural level. There's just so many things going against us. And not all of those things are self-made. But they're all things that only we can do anything about. For example, like you mentioned, the Asian families, Hispanic families, Jewish, Italian families, it's a family business. Pakistani family, we have a Pakistani brother, Shahryar. His father owns a store. His mother runs a store. He finances the store. It's a family business. Where do you even begin with black? We don't even have black families.
Yeah.
As a stereotype, right? Yeah. As a stereotype. So honestly, it's only 25% of black families that don't have their fathers. I think when you go into the inner city, it jumps to like maybe 40-something percent. There's still families. You got to understand that they're rarer. And just because you're together, especially in a community like ours, it's probably not a functioning family. It's not functional.
Yeah.
So you got to fix that first.
Before anything.
Before you can. And then out of that, how many people are entrepreneurs?
Yeah.
So what are the chances, especially in the Black community, that the pressures that make you want to go start your own business and do for yourself mm-hmm. come from having a broken home? You're mm-hmm. probably going to be alone.
Yeah.
Your mother probably works 3 part-time jobs or 3 full-time jobs, whatever it is.
So nobody is usually there for
you. Don't have the option of doing a family thing. Mm-hmm. There's just so many cultural aspects where your family can't even be trusted. And in the Black community, you can see with the football players, yeah. with the musicians, what mm-hmm. happens. This is probably happens with every family, but when you get money,
yeah.
people resent you, but then still want a handout.
That's true.
That's not mm-hmm. a uniquely Black issue, but it's the most prevalent because socioeconomically, we're probably the poorest, at yeah. least in America. So how can you do that? That's probably best for business when you have a son, mm-hmm. you have a father and son duo. Father runs a business to pass it on to the yeah. son, but that's not even heard of. Mm-hmm. That's very rare in our community. So, I've never heard of it.
So we gotta, you know, to clear this whole issue of like the whole.
We gotta be home first.
We gotta be home first.
We gotta that's be it. Home first.
So everybody gotta fix their own home.
And what you mentioned earlier, you said what? You think it starts from the home?
Yeah, it starts from the home because if you don't fix the home, like, how do you even get like a business going? How do you know what's going on? You could just start up something, you know what I mean? You could start up something that's like what, like 3 million, but you don't know what you have. And you just, you know, goof around with it
no.
until someone like, you know, come and pick the slacks for you. I feel like that's something, you know, we gotta like figure out for us before anything else.
Yeah, I mean, we're wrapping up here, but for an example, we have a friend who will go unnamed and he started his own business.
Yeah.
But because he grew up in a urban inner city Black mm-hmm. environment, he didn't care.
He didn't care about the business.
And not at all. And you know what? His father owns a business. Guess what? His father
doesn't care.
Doesn't
either.
Care.
Isn't that crazy?
It's incredible. So when you think about it, guess what? His father could have easily taught him the business and had him make it better.
Yeah.
But guess what? His father didn't care. And the relationship, even though his father was there, it was an awful relationship. Because out of that 60% of homes where the father's around, it's still yeah. probably not good.
Mm-hmm.
Because financial pressures, socioeconomic
it's
pressures
real.
Make
yeah.
people
yep.
struggle. And it doesn't allow them to really be good people sometimes.
Hmm.
So guess what? This guy made his own business. He didn't care.
He sold it. He offered to sell his
right.
business.
And to go back to your point where yeah. somebody else sees the value that you don't.
Yep.
A rich white guy at mm-hmm. a cigar club
they
was going to buy it
buy that business.
For 2 times what they would have made in a single year.
Yep.
And he just declined. But what he should have gotten out of that was think about how much your business is actually worth.
Yeah.
But even after that engagement, he still just didn't care.
It's just sometimes we got to know what we actually want. And it's a generational thing we got to fix in the Black homes before we actually like get to where we're going. It's a lot of work to be done, but I feel like we as a, you know, we the wrong young generation. I know the parents already did their own thing and stuff like that, but
it's our time now.
It's our time now to educate our kids and like let everybody know like, hey, this is go time. We can't, you know, we can't keep having our kids saying, oh, I want to be a doctor, and then you telling him like, oh, you could be a janitor. That can't happen. I mean, just because we gotta think big. We gotta go, you know, we gotta go. Like, we got to go better on this.
So, I don't think it's just thinking big. I think we have to be big.
Be big.
And that starts at home.
Yeah.